The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
And it was indeed during COVID-19 that I started and you started and everybody started appreciating nature a little bit more. One of the things I noticed when I was stuck at home was there was a lot of buzzards around the area. I knew there was a few, but now I realise there's actually a big nest of buzzards in a tree directly opposite my house. And I never realised how loud they were until such time as I paid attention. I'm not alone in that, Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland. At nesting time, the smallies are a little noisy, to say the least.
Oh, they are. Yes, they tend to be ravenous. So they're looking to get food from their parents.
Yeah, these ones are hungry. By the sounds of it, buzzards have enjoyed a bit of resurgence. They were extinct at one point in this country, weren't they?
That's right, and thankfully they've made a big comeback, and it's really great to see that. By the sort of the middle of the 19th century, buzzards were more or less wiped out in Ireland. That was through misguided persecution. It was through shooting and through poisoning. But the species remained quite common in much of Britain, and it's a very common bird of prey across most of continental Europe. And over the last few decades, it's slowly but surely managed to recolonise Ireland, first through northern Ulster, and then it's colonised most of Ulster, and then down through East Leinster. And over the last 10, 15 years, it's spread across all of Ireland and now breeding back in all of the 32 counties, which is great news.
What do they eat? And I suppose there was a reason why they went extinct in the first place. And presumably it was because somebody thought that they were a threat.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, it was misguided. They're no threat. In fact, they're actually a wonderful bird to have around. They're great at controlling all sorts of pests. So their favourite food of all would be rats and rabbits and young crows. That's mainly what they eat. They also eat earthworms and frogs and things like that. They're quite a generalist bird when it comes to their diet. So that's one of the reasons why when they're not persecuted, they can be quite successful. And a large part of what they eat is actually scavenging. It's roadkill and dead animals and things like that. So they perform great service in cleaning up the countryside and stopping the spread of disease and so forth. And one of the big misconceptions about them over the years is they pose a threat to livestock. So just to categorically say that they absolutely do not. They're not capable of killing a lamb. They never would even try. They will sometimes feed on a dead or a stillborn lamb, but certainly not capable of killing it. Nothing but a farmer's friend, a great bird to have around a farm.
Okay. And big and all as they are, they can't really lift a lamb away. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. And I suppose it's because they're quite imposing when they're in flight. People probably think they're capable of doing more than they actually are.
Yes, they are very big birds in terms of the bulk, especially their wingspan. The wingspan is well over a metre, so it's quite a big bird, much bigger than, let's say, a typical crow or something like that. When they're actually perched, often I see them, for example, around Dublin on the lamppost around the M50, and then they don't look quite so large when they're perched, but when they open their wings, they're absolutely massive. But in terms of the weight of the bird, we're talking a bird that doesn't weigh much more than a kilogram. They're not a heavy bird, it's just they have big flight feathers to enable them to soar on thermals of rising air, and they're really not capable of carrying anything bigger than a rabbit. So that's about as big as they would tackle.
So that brings us to the reason we have you on, because somebody in West Cork obviously doesn't like buzzards because they poisoned 23 of them. Were they all in a similar geographical area? Do we know, was it a single incidence of poisoning where they all ate the same thing, or was it a more concerted effort by whoever was responsible?
Well, we don't know all the details ourselves, and the National Parks and Wildlife Service is the state body which has been investigating this, but we do see it does seem to all be connected to one incident. We also know from the nature of buzzards and the way they behave that, you know, if 23 dead corpses or carcasses are found, that may be the tip of the iceberg. There would be, it stands to reason, there would be more that would never have been found. The birds would have felt very poorly or unwell, hidden off in woodland and would never have been discovered. We know that the poison in this case was a substance called carbifuran, which is a horribly toxic substance. It's banned. There's no legitimate use for it in Ireland whatsoever. It's a completely banned substance. It's a criminal offence to use it. And originally, it was manufactured originally as a pesticide, but unfortunately, it turned out it was very efficient at killing all sorts of animals. And so what would happen is that sometimes poisoned meat bait is left out, cubes of meat or perhaps even a dead bird or a rabbit or something, laced with some of this substance. And then obviously the birds, like buzzards, will come down and feed on that, and it kills them very, very quickly. One of the awful things about that too, quite aside from the horror of killing so many protected birds, is this poses a great threat to pets and indeed to human beings as well, because this substance is so toxic that if somebody had found one of these buzzards that was in distress, or had found perhaps a tethered animal that had, you know, was still alive and had this poison on it, as has happened, then if they touched it and got some of the substance on their hands and then touched their mouth or the corner of their eye, they could die. It's that toxic. It kills people almost instantly.
Well, let's bring in the Minister of Estate at the Department of Heritage, Malcolm Noonan, who has some responsibility over this area. Malcolm Noonan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
This investigation, can you cast any more light on how far it has progressed? Because it took a while to kind of get the information out that this incident had even happened in the first place.
It did, and we're extremely grateful to the landowner for bringing this to our attention. It really is, as Niall has said, a very serious incident. The carbofuran, the poison that they've used, is a really toxic substance. And the investigations are ongoing. The Garda, Síochána are involved, the ISPCA, and our own staff in the MPWS. So we are trying to reach a successful conclusion with this, because it's one of the most serious incidents that we've had in recent years. And, you know, we've had a very successful series of prosecutions in recent weeks, even in relation to hedgerows and herring gulls. We've taken over 90 prosecutions since 2013. So there's, you know, our department takes it very, very seriously, and we are determined to get to the bottom of it. Niall said these are wonderful birds. They really add to our countryside, to our natural heritage, and it's really important that they continue to thrive in our countryside. They offer a valuable ecosystem service to our countryside, and I think it's important that there's an understanding that poisonings like this and other incidents around the misunderstanding around raptors in particular needs to be addressed.
Well, it's a reprehensible act, whoever does it, but they're very hard to prosecute. It's very hard to prosecute these crimes. You need to have some form of evidence. The bird can't talk, and it's very hard to say who left what where. So those who are carrying out this activity for whatever misguided reason know that the likelihood of being brought before the courts is very slim.
It could be, and as I said, we have had prosecutions, and we're determined to see this through to a hopefully a successful conclusion. And there is a wildlife crime team within the NPWS who work closely with the Garda Síochána, and recently they've drafted a joint protocol together. We're hoping to strengthen that relationship and that partnership with the Garda. But I think obviously there's a resourcing issue. We really need to stop incidents like this, because I think the vast majority of Irish people are appalled by such an atrocity.
Well, if somebody has carbofuran, which is something I'd never heard of before today, and it has been outlawed for a number of years, I mean, that alone is surely worthy of a sizeable criminal investigation, because that is a very dangerous substance to be in possession of.
It is. I mean, chances are the substance was illegally procured, and that in itself, you're absolutely right, is being stored. It's being stored somewhere. It's a risk to people, as Niall has said as well, and a risk to, as long as it's out there, it's a risk to wildlife and to people. And I think that for that reason, we do need to continue to pursue all avenues to try and deal with this particular issue and bring the perpetrators to justice.
Niall, if I could just throw one more question to you, and Minister, stay on the line, because I have another question for you about another matter. But Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland, when you have people out and about paying attention to this right now, is there anything the public can do to try and protect these animals? And I'm not just talking about the buzzards, but the eagles that we've reintroduced at great cost to the Irish state, and even some of them have fallen victim to this type of poisoning. What can the people listening right now do?
Certainly, if anybody has any suspicions or has any information of anyone committing these criminal acts, because let's bear in mind, this is a serious crime under the Wildlife Acts, we would ask them please to report it to the National Parks and Wildlife Service and to the Gardaí. It really is vital that we get to the bottom of this. There must be people who know, who have some knowledge about this incident and other similar incidents around Ireland where birds like hen harriers and white-tailed eagles and golden eagles are being killed. And we're asking people please to come forward with this. It's also worth bearing in mind that these stories make international headlines. This has been widely reported in the media in Britain, in Scandinavia, and many other countries as well. It gives Ireland a terrible reputation. It's seen as an absolutely barbaric, you know, Middle Ages type approach to wildlife that has disappeared in many other countries. It seems very unenlightened. And we know that the vast majority of people across Ireland are delighted to see these birds. So many landowners and farmers absolutely love them, and it's great to see that being, being better understood. So that's what we'd ask people to do.
Well, there's four across from my garden anyway, and I keep an eye on them for you. Let's put it that way. Let's go back to Malcolm Noonan, the Minister of State at the Department of Heritage. You're launching a campaign as well today to prevent litter, speaking of things that aren't exactly covering our country in glory. Are staycationers dumping stuff willy-nilly around the country because they're not willing to bring it home, do you think, Minister?
Certainly there seems to be an increased incidence, particularly in our national parks and in our wild areas, our nature reserves. And today we've launched the Love This Place, Leave No Trace campaign. It's a joint initiative with NPWS, Waterways Ireland, Inland Fisheries, and Quilta and OPW and Leave No Trace Ireland. And really it's about promoting responsible outdoor recreation practices throughout our national parks, that people, all they leave behind are their footprints and bring with them their memories. And I think that the important thing from this campaign is to ensure that, that people take with them any litter that they can bag it up and bring in, take it back home in the car. Mm. We have a particular issue with disposable barbecues, which are prohibited in our national parks because of the potential for fires. But all of these issues, I think, are important. As people are thankfully staycationing and in getting increased use, as you said at the outset of this piece, that we are really valuing nature and people are getting out to enjoy.
Any chance you'd put up a few signs at beaches around the country where the rubbish has been piling up on any good? The weather's going to get good over the weekend. Beaches are absolutely destroyed by people leaving stuff behind, and it comes to falls to volunteers to clean them up. Are these signs going to go up on the beach?
Yeah, that the idea is that it's a public awareness campaign, it's a social media campaign, and there will be signage as well. We're really grateful, I think, to all of the volunteers right around the country, on our coastal areas, in our national parks, in our public spaces, out there diligently cleaning up after this. But really, they shouldn't have to do it.
Mm. And people should have that responsibility. If you find a few people, Minister, that might drive the message home. I mean, we're not very good at that.
Absolutely, and I think it's challenging to get to the stage of court with issues of litter, as local authorities are too well aware. And really, what we're appealing to people is to take home everything with them and just leave behind their footprints and bring with them their memories. I think that's really important that they take heed of this campaign and that we have leave these natural places in pristine condition for future generations.
And one last point before we finish up on government. Front page of the Irish Examiner this morning, a number of Green Party TDs are considering at what point they'll walk away from the newly formed coalition government. Are you one of them?
No, I'm not sure where that story came from, because that's not the issue in among our TDs. We haven't spoken about that at all. So I think
Speaking rights have been removed from two of them. TDs who are unhappy voting on certain legislation have been telling colleagues that they're biding their time and contemplating when they draw the line. Sounds like you're kind of uncomfortable in government this time round.
Well, we're not uncomfortable in government. I think we're doing a good job with our government partners, and we're going to continue to see through our programme for government right to its full term, because I think it's really important for the people of Ireland that we have that stability. So certainly that's not the case, and that's not the discussions we're having. We're progressing. We're making really good advances in energy, climate legislation, and I think that's what we want to do, and that's what we're elected to do.
OK, we'll leave it there. Malcolm Noonan, all happy in the Green Party camp. Glad to hear it. Thank you very much for joining us on News Talk this morning.